Hello. Welcome back. Wow. That was beautiful. And Esther, thank you so much. Shanna must have known that Hammered Dulcimer was one of my favorites. So, are we all missing Shanna? Yeah, she's my very good friend. So it's always good to come and be a part of your community and to be with all of you radical rebels, right? Do you know that we are forging a new era right now? Can you feel the energy and the change and the chaos and the shifting that's happening all around us? I was listening a couple weeks ago. I was able to hear Barbara Marx Hubbard at our annual convention. And she is a futurist and writer on evolutionary spirituality. And she was talking about this shift that we're going through. And she's using this whole idea of 2012 and the ending of the world to mark a ending of what no longer serves us, an ending of who we used to be, and a birth of something new. She actually has a website, birth2012.com, so check that out, because there's a whole birthday celebration plan for December 22nd. Stephen Dinnon, who's founder of the Shift Network, which some of you may be familiar with, said, "Every so often, humanity's evolution accelerates to the point that it becomes visible to all. Flowering of democracy in ancient Athens, the Renaissance, the Scientific Revolution, the Reformation, the Civil Rights Movement, they're all examples of those times in history. At the heart of these times of accelerated change are astounding genius and inspired pioneers. But real change flows from a collective wave of new consciousness that is networked and interconnected. In other words, it's each of us holding that intention for this new way of being, for this birth into possibility that will make it happen. But see, in order to do this, we have to get ourselves out of the way." That's the tricky part sometimes, isn't it? We have to get beyond our limited human perspective. I would like you to imagine something with me. Are you all willing to play this morning? Okay. Well, I invite you to close your eyes for a moment and imagine that you're in a boat and you're going down the river in the middle of the jungle. And you're with a handful of people and a tour guide, and you're expecting this to be a nice day, and you'll get to see all the creatures in the jungle and hear about what goes on. And you begin to enter this dark cave-like area that the river flows through, and all of a sudden you hear these strange sounds. Maybe even a growl. And as you emerge into the light, you realize your tour guide is no longer with you. You begin to get a little bit nervous, and the passengers on the boat start to get a little anxious, and the one little child that's with you is crawling into his mother's lap. And you notice in the water around you there's some snakes circling the boat and a couple crocodiles getting awfully close. Then you hear some gunshots in the distance and some arrows fly over the boat, and you see these wild natives with their face painted looking at you with not too welcoming a glance. Can you feel the anxiety that starts to rise in this unknown place? I invite you to open your eyes. What I just described was a common ride in a number of amusement parks across the country. Have you ever been on one of those? But see, when you're in the midst of that experience, if it was real, as you imagined it to be, your anxiety began to rise. This was an unfamiliar situation. There was potential danger lurking. It made you anxious and nervous. See, we have this part of our brain called the amygdala that kicks in when we're in those unfamiliar situations, when we're in those unknowns. And our fear begins to rise, and our anxiety begins to rise, and that fight or flight mechanism kicks in. But here's the thing about the amygdala. It doesn't know the difference between reality and imagination. It doesn't know the difference between a real risk that could threaten your life and a new experience that scares you. So our human reaction kicks in as we step into a new path that may be a little scary. My son Drew, when he was in high school, was in a play called Dead Man Walking. You may be familiar with the movie or read the book. And if you are, you know this is a story of a man who murdered two teenagers who were on Lover's Lane, and he was sentenced to death and on death row. And there was a nun, played by Susan Sarandon in the movie, who walked with him through that journey, first in denial of what he had done, and then coming to the realization and horror of it, and moving towards this execution date. And part of what she did in her process was go to see the victim's parents. Well, my son was playing one of the teenagers that was murdered. And in the play version, they were over the top of the stage on this archway, and they were commenting on things that was, it would happen, you know, throughout the play, and they were showing flashbacks of the murder, and it was a very intense play, as you can imagine. So the nun goes to talk to the father of the boy who was murdered, the boy played by my son. And so she's asking him how this affected his life, because she wants to understand both sides of this story and this tragedy that happened. And so here this man is describing the murder, describing his heartache, describing the utter pain that resulted from the death of his son. And she said, "Do you have a picture of him?" And he said, "I do." And he handed her the picture of my son. Now you can imagine listening to this heartache, listening to this horrid event and the emotion around it, and seeing a picture of your child. I knew it was a play. I knew he was playing a part, but in that moment it felt very real. And that heartache caused my own heart to ache and tears well up in my eyes. And the poor woman whose son was playing the murderer on death row was sitting in front of me. She had to go through the play, through all this emotion, and then see her son executed. And she was bawling. And so we're walking out of this play together, our eyes all puffy and red and consoling each other and, you know, handing each other tissue. And we get out into the hallway, and there's our boys in the hallway, and they're high-fiving each other. And they're laughing and saying, "Good job," and they're getting flowers from the girls and going, "Yeah, this is all right." And I thought, wow, isn't this a perfect example of being a spiritual being moving through a human experience? See, when we're in that experience, those emotions are so real and so intense. And everything about it affects us. But you see, we are spiritual beings, and there's that place within us, that eternal place, that unchanging place, that knowing place, that is standing out in the hallway going, "Did you see that? Wow, what a soul lesson that was." See, we get to that place, and we can get to that place in the midst of our human experience when we stop and breathe, when we pray, when we take time to meditate. That's how we reach that hallway. You see, we have a great opportunity to be the change in this world right now if we don't let ourselves get in the way, if we don't get caught up in the seeming reality of what's going on in our lives and our world right now. Irvin Laszlo, founder of systems philosophy and general evolution theory, says we are at a critical time in history. We are faced with a profound change and an opportunity for world renewal. Some of you probably have heard of the chaos theory. So the idea is that at one end of the spectrum, there's order and stability. At the other end, there's complete chaos. And somewhere in between is the edge of chaos. You see, the edge of chaos is a very powerful place. It is a place where our world is super sensitive, so that even small fluctuations produce large-scale effects. Have you heard of the butterfly effect? It was originally developed in a study of the weather by a man in the 60s. And what he did was he noticed that in studying the evolution of the world's weather, he found a strange evolutionary path. It consisted of two different trajectories joined together like the wings of a butterfly. The slightest disturbance would shift the evolutionary trajectory of the world's weather from one wing to the other. The weather, it appears, is a system in permanently chaotic state, a system permanently governed by chaotic attractors that would move it one direction or another. Well, guess what? So is humanity. Humanity is in a permanently chaotic state. And we are the chaotic attractors. Have you felt a little bit like your life is in chaos, that maybe you're living on the edge of chaos at times? Or is it just me? Okay. Thank you. I was starting to worry. Jean Houston was also speaking at this same conference, and she's also writes a lot on evolutionary spirituality. And she said, "You're not going crazy, you're just being evolutionally enhanced." So our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to learn how to respond to what's going on in our lives and in the world rather than react to it. If we are going to effectively live on the edge of chaos, and if we are going to make a difference in which evolutionary path we take, we have to learn to be present to what's going on, but not get caught up in it. We have to learn to stand in the hallway, to maintain a hallway perspective. So, when we lose our jobs, when somebody leaves our lives, when our buttons get pushed, or on the other hand, when we finally lose some of that weight we've been trying to lose, or we take a class that we've always wanted to take, we go back to school, we try something new, we begin to date again, when all of those things happen, our amygdala is going to kick in. It's a part of our human process. And we're going to feel that fear kick in, and we're going to feel that uncertainty and that, I don't know how to be in this. Yeah, I said I wanted it, but this is kind of scary. And our first reaction is going to be to resist, to run, to stop, to say, this must not be a good thing because I feel really uncomfortable. But the evolutionary call at this time on our planet is to step back. And remember that, I remember that from a kid, when I was a kid, that whole count to 10. It had something to do with when you were mad, but I think it's just a good principle in general. When these things happen in your life, to step back and to count to 10, to breathe, to reconnect with that part of you that knows that you know, that is bigger than what's happening, to step out into the hallway. So the question is, when these things pop up, what would I do in this moment if I wasn't taking this so personally? What would I do in this moment if I wasn't taking this so seriously? How would I respond to this situation if I was standing in the hallway? That's our invitation. So, Laszlo goes on to say, we now live in a period of transformation when a new world is struggling to be born. Ours is an era of decision, a window of unprecedented freedom to decide our destiny. In this decision window, fluctuations, in themselves small and seemingly powerless actions and initiatives, pave the way towards the critical chaos point where the system tips in one direction or another. We can create the kind of fluctuations, the actions and initiatives that will tip the coming chaos point towards peace and sustainability. If we are aware of this power in our hands, and if we have the will and the wisdom to make use of it, we become masters of our destiny. So here's what we know. Humanity is a chaotic system. So don't expect that to change. But what we also know is that we are a chaotic attractor. that it is at this point in time that our smallest of actions make a difference. Change the course of our life, change the course of our planetary evolution. One small act, one small moment in which you don't react to something, but instead take a breath and respond. Instead, step out into the hallway and go, wow, look at that. You are the chaotic attractor. You get to decide. Today is your birthday. Because all possibility lies before you, and you get to choose who you're going to be when you walk out this door. You get to choose what your life is going to look like starting today. You get to decide. You get to walk on the edge. And guess what? We're all going to walk with you. So we'll be in good company. Thank you. Blessings.
Thank you.